know, it's going to be hard to think of SMU without Dr. Gerald Turner. He's been there 30 years as president. He's the longest serving president ever for SMU, and one of the longest serving CEOs or presidents of any corporation or any school around. But he was well thought of. Right now, they're saying all the things about Dr. Turner that normally are reserved for a eulogy. Dr. Turner joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Well, it's good to read them while I'm still alive.
I know.
Somebody, a friend actually asked me, said, did you die and we not know about it? And I said, I don't think I have, but I've been very appreciative of the comments of everyone, obviously, and the reports from the Dallas Morning News. They've been very rewarding, and I really do appreciate them.
The more I think about this, the more remarkable this is. Now, I've known you for a long time, and I've appreciated what you've done. But I look at your constituents, and, you know, you've got to walk a tightrope. The students, the faculty, a bunch of wealthy alums who all know a lot more than you do, the community, which also knows a lot more about you do, a bunch of parents who knows that you're abusing their children somehow in education, and the benefactors and the sports fans. How do you walk that tightrope with all these people?
Well, I've found over the years, if you have some pretty clear goals, and you communicate them, and everybody knows that you're working toward those, and you can show progress, then that helps you kind of keep everybody in line. If there's nothing out there in terms of goals, aspirations, strategic plan, those kinds of things, if they're not there, then it gets chaotic. And so it can get chaotic sometimes anyway. But I think if you have a set of values and a set of goals you can take people back to, it helps argue for what you're doing. And you've got to be consistent on it, and that's important. But by and large, our folks have all agreed that we want SMU to be a national university, not just a regional one. We want the quality of it to improve over those years. And frankly, we want to have a closer working relationship with Dallas and the Metroplex. And those were the three things that the board told me in 1995 that they wanted me to do. And so as a result, we've just stayed on those. And so all of the plans that we've had and so on center around those three things. And so nobody can argue with any of those. And so as a result, it's a way of bringing people back to some common set of values and goals that I think help people stay on the same page.
Yeah, keeping everybody marching in the same direction, that's always a challenge, but you've done it. And you look back at the accomplishments. I mean, 30 years is a long time, but you've jammed a lot into 30 years. I mean, the physical plant is, I mean, I know your mascot is a horse, but if there's a bird, it's got to be the construction crane at SMU is sort of the mascot. Uh-huh. And that's ongoing. You got the Bush Library. You've got the athletic program going. One of the things that impressed me the most, you and I had a conversation probably a decade ago, and you were talking about bringing people back on campus, getting the students, the commuters, to back live on campus and create a sense of community. And you've done that.
Right. Yeah, that was what was so missing with our athletic program. When I got here and we were playing in the Cotton Bowl, and, you know, it's nice to have that facility, but you didn't get anything out of it because most schools that have games on campus use those weekends for recruiting students, recruiting faculty, and just building up the enthusiasm of your alumni. And so one of the very first steps we made was to try to bring it back. And so, I mean, we had Ray and Nancy Hunt, we had Lamar Hunt, and then Jerry Ford, you know, made it all possible to have a new stadium. And then I sent people over to Ole Miss to look at the Grove, so we'd bring it back as the Boulevard. And so now the Boulevard is just a standard, and it's become a verb, it's become a participle, it's become a noun, but boulevarding, yeah. I'm going to go Boulevard. All of those things basically point to that community aspect that sometimes we get 20,000 to 30,000 people on it.
And you've got more and more students living on campus. Freshmen and sophomore, I guess, are probably required to do that so they can walk. But that creates a sense of community that'll last long beyond their years at SMU.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, there's no more beautiful place to live than on the SMU campus. So as a result, one of our needs going forward is to create more on-campus housing. Students go in waves of wanting to live on campus, wanting to live off of campus. And we're kind of in a wave now of wanting to live on campus. And so you see universities building residential halls and commons and so on. So it's important to be able, in terms of campus spirit and a sense of place, to have a good number of students. We have of our 7,500 undergraduates, nearly 4,000 of them live on campus. And we have 5,000 graduate students. They tend not to live on campus, right. So we don't try to build something for them.
You know, the other thing that's evolved over 30 years, and I've been here to watch it, is SMU has sort of evolved from everybody's safe school to an aspirational school.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's tougher to get in. And I'm getting more and more people who come to my office, and I say, "Well, what brings you to town? I know you're traveling here from Boston." Well, my kid's in the engineering school at SMU, and I like to visit her occasionally.
Yeah, yeah. We when we started this, we were about the 75th centile in terms of the quality of our entering class, and now we're up to the 95th. And so there are a lot of alums say, "Well, I couldn't even get in now," and If I know they've got a sense of humor, I'll say, well, probably not. If they don't have a good sense of humor, I say, well, I don't know. You know, you just have to go through it and see.
You know, I know it hadn't all been easy along the way. And of course, one of the great plums is having the Bush Presidential Library right there on your campus and all the synergy that spins off that. But boy, you were under a lot of criticism for putting that on campus.
Well, it was a very difficult process of about 6 years because we didn't have enough land and we were buying the condos there, and there were people trying to make a fortune off of buying one or two of those and wanting, you know, something in many instances, at least 10 times what it was worth. And politically, you had some people, faculty and some in the Methodist Church that were opposed to it. And so it wasn't easy, and you had everybody in the world wanting it. I mean, A&M was wanting it, and their argument was to have you'd be the only father-son libraries next to each other because the Adams are different places already, and so on down the line. And it was intense. It was really intense. And so when I finally got that call, I told the Dallas Morning News lately that when I got that call, I can say that I've been jubilant twice in this job. Once when I got that call, and once I got a call from the commissioner of the ACC.
Which is another significant accomplishment.
Those are two good calls.
Well, and another one that probably had its, you know, its fair amount of critics too, but, you know, not anymore. I think they've all come around. You know, I think of the challenges, and 15, 20 years ago we had, you know, a horrible financial crisis here, 08 and 09, and I know a lot of institutions had their, you know, faculty funds invested in the common fund and things like that, and they froze them. You couldn't get the money out.
Right.
That was a terrible time, and I'm sure you had a lot of parents that couldn't make tuition payments.
That was a very difficult time, and you had to be flexible. Interestingly enough, we had just kicked off our unbridled campaign on the Friday before Lehman Brothers fell on Sunday. You talk about timing. And so we had been talking, of course, to people about major gifts. And what we told people was just do what you can now. When this too shall pass, like all economic downfalls, and then we'll pick up again. And so we just kind of treaded water for a couple of years. And we were very flexible with parents and tried to get as much scholarship support as possible to try to help them out. So it worked out, but there were a couple of very tough years there.
And then along comes COVID and another pivot that you've got to do, something that I think it's inconceivable that anybody could have planned adequately for COVID and for that length of time.
No, and particularly since it was a worldwide pandemic, but you know, we only were closed when we were ordered to, from middle of March to the 1st of June. And then we started working on with the belief that if we did all the things that you can do, spread out the classes, alternate their use, and require masks and various things like that, that we could open in the fall. And so we had red days and blue days in terms of going to class or being online, and gave students the opportunity. They could either come in person or they could stay home and take everything online. And we believe most would want to come, and 85% of them did. And so we've gotten a lot of accolades for doing that. And we had places that if you got sick, you went, and we emptied two old dorms. And so you stayed there and so we went through it and got through it. But the students that were here are very proud of the fact that they were here.
Yeah. And you're here. You know, we all got through it, I guess, but yeah, some of us were greater difficulty. So you're going to be consulting. You're not going to leave. You know, you're not going back to New Boston. I know you're going to stay around. You're going to oversee. But so tell me about the future, because I look at it and my goodness, the cost of the sticker price anyway of tuition is just, it never slows down. It escalates faster than the inflation rate. And there's concern about the demographics that maybe the pipelines aren't filling up with students to occupy all the spaces that have been there. I mean, there are a lot of challenges that are coming.
Well, there are a lot of challenges that some are coming and most of them are here in one form or another. But the pipeline of students is changing. And so who you recruit and so on has to reflect that. In our first year class this year, it's 38% non-traditional college students. And so mainly minority students, first gen, and so on. And of our transfers, 311 transfers, they're nearly 60% non-traditional. And so as a result, you've got a very diverse student body that's being generated. And so you have to work on cultural intelligence is the word we use for it, to make sure everybody can get along together. And two, it's crucial that you have the kind of scholarship support. We tell all Pell Grant students from Texas, if you want to come to SMU and you're admissible, and now that's a big if, but if you've done your work and you've taken the courses and so on, and you're admissible to SMU, then we will make sure that with your Pell Grant and your other financial aid, that we will make up the difference. And so any student that is a Pell Grant student, regardless of race or whatever, if they're a Pell Grant student, then we will make sure that they can come to SMU. And so that's made a big difference also for our student body. And so the challenges are there, but even with the tuition going up, most students have financial aid to where they end up making it. And our view is, don't assume that you can't come to SMU. Talk to us.
That's
if you're in the top 5%, we'll find a way for you to get here. If you're in the bottom 25, well, it's nice to know you.
Well, you're a remarkable guy, not the least of which is a rainmaker. You have found what my alma mater refers to as a never failing succession of benefactors.
Well, let's hope it's never failing, because we absolutely require it to be never failing.
All right. Congratulations. We look forward to following you through football season and the other seasons that you have there in athletics. And I know it's going to be exciting. Dr. Gerald Turner, not quite ending 30 years on campus, but next year.
I'll be around, but just I won't carry the burden that I carry right now. I'll just help that person carrying the burden.
We wish you the best. Thank you a lot
Thank
for the
you.
Time. For
Thank
more
you,
of our
David.
Conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.